This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get on. Welcome to the best hour in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. Mark Garagus is over there in parts unknown. Where are you, Mark?
I'm in New York. Just got back to New York. I've been running all over the place.
Getting ready for a trial?
I am getting ready to start a trial, which is in fact, when this drops, I will have picked the jury and be in the middle of a trial, which is a very distressing case to me. It's a young man, a really kind of a fine young man from a very good family, who at the age of 17, after school, straight-A student, was in a car, his car, driving home, was going down a street, kind of a wide four-lane street, anywhere's from 60 to 80, is depending on who you believe, miles per hour. A woman comes out from an intersection, but it's not a controlled intersection, it's a stop sign, to make what looks to be a left-hand turn. He hits her. She passes away. They test him. He is clean, no alcohol, no drugs. They file murder charges. Murder. I mean, the kid's got no priors. He was once, somehow they dig up that 6 or 8 months prior, maybe 9 months prior to this, a cop had pulled him over for doing 75 on the 134 freeway over by Glendale and had given him a ticket to go to adult court, even though he was a juvenile. He never convicted on that case. And the DA is using that case, the ticket, as supplying the malice to make this a murder. And it drives me literally insane. I mean, this kid, you know, it's a lifetime case, and there's no reason in the world this kid should be facing murder, but they're just insistent.
You know, I may be wired differently than most people, but I have almost no time to spend on people who essentially make mistakes, you know, and I have all the time in the world for people that pull gravel truck drivers out of their truck and smash cinder blocks on their head when they're laying on the ground. I draw a huge distinction, not just between, you know, to me, you go, there's a dead body. There's a dead body. My distinction is, how is that body dead? And I just draw a massive distinction between, well, they died of carbon monoxide poisoning, but you own the motel and you should have changed those carbon monoxide sensors because they had low batteries. Yes, but that is a huge distinction to me between trying to kill somebody and speeding, which, by the way, especially when it's something we've all done.
Well, and by the way, the case you just described is, I had that case, it's a civil case. It is negligence. It is, if you prove it. And, you know, that's why there's insurance, and that's why you shift the burden to the person who is responsible. You don't have a 17-year-old kid face murder with a life top based on this. I mean, it is such an abdication of prosecutorial authority and prosecutorial discretion. It makes me just angry. And, you know, the problem from my standpoint is, you know, you want to convey this, obviously, to a jury. Nobody wants to be, or to diminish the woman or the family or the kids who were in the car in this accident. I don't diminish that for a second. But if there was ever a case that was a prototype manslaughter, vehicular manslaughter, this is it. Why do you charge somebody with murder? Why do you make them have to roll the dice to go away for the rest of their life on a life case, especially a kid who's got absolutely no priors, great family, straight-A student? I mean, it's just, this is the insanity of the criminal justice system.
Before you comment
on that, because if I get talk about it much more, I'm going to get even angrier. Let's talk about something you can do something about. Theraworks.
Yeah, relief.
Leg or foot cramps. You know how painful they can be. I just had one in my calf. They can jolt you out of a sound sleep, interrupt your daily life. TheraWorks Relief, non-greasy foam, proven to relieve muscle cramps fast and reduce muscle soreness. Plus, with daily use, TheraWorks, and that's works with an X, Relief, can prevent muscle cramps before they start. Takes only minutes to apply, absorbs quickly, and works. And guess who's been talking about it, Adam?
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew's been talking about TheraWorks Relief all over TV. It's like he's the Dr. Phil of TheraWorks. Holidays are around the corner. If you know someone who suffers from muscle cramps, and who doesn't, or soreness, who doesn't, there's no better gift. Get TheraWorks Relief today at Walmart's, CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, or your pharmacist. Learn more at TheraWorks. Remember, that's with an X. TheraWorks, Relief, RELIEF.com.
I should also tell you guys the show's brought to you by TommyJohn.com/Adam and TrueCar.com and Pluto TV, all your favorite devices. Let me tell you a sad glimpse into the human psyche, or maybe it's just me. Mark, you tell me if there's something wrong with my wiring and I'm inherently evil, or everyone is wired like me. Mark is a neighbor of mine. The power has been going out in our neighborhood periodically, and to great negative effect. It's gone off at the other night. It went off at like 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. It stayed off the other day before. It was off all night. And this morning, the worst thing that can ever really happen, which is at 8:22, I got out of bed. I put my feet on the carpet and the power went. And also I had to just get up and sort of get out. I had an hour of looking at the computer and going over some tweets or whatever it is, but the power out. No poached eggs in the electric poacher for the Ace Man this morning. The power's been going out a lot. So I said, who else can I share this misery with? And then I realized Mark Garagus is across the country, so he's not miserable. He's staying at a Hampton Inn with the power that works perfectly.
But I did tell you that you're channeling your inner Paulette, because she's in Cambodia and was just complaining about the power grid over there. So here's the human
wiring. Pardon the pun. Speaking about the grid. I went, well, Mark's not sharing my misery. Who else can we roll around in my misery trough with? And then I said, aha, his wife, Paulette. She's always walking the neighborhood. She can't be happy the power's out. And then you mentioned Paulette is in Cambodia. And I went, damn it. They're both out of their house while the power's out. Now I'm feeling worse about my lot in life, but the second you told me she was in Cambodia and the power was out there, too, I immediately felt better about myself.
It's literally misery loves company. It's part of the human condition.
It's so sad. So sad. A lovely woman, a lovely gentleman, yet I want them to live with me in my blackout in La Cañada. And also,
how many times have you lost power in lockdown? I don't quite understand. I mean, I understand having grown up there and spent a large portion of my life off and on in La Cañada. I get the sewer cesspool issue, you know, that I grew up without sewers, and so you had to take quick showers. Otherwise, when you look down, you're in a shit stew,
right?
Literally.
Yeah.
And so
everything's on septic there.
Yeah, everything's on septic. You have to get... I mean, they sell you on the idea that you get a microseptic or some nonsense when I was redoing the house. So I get that. But it is a little third world, the septic system. You know what I mean? I'd say
yes.
It's a little kind of underdeveloped. You can't really... If somebody says, oh, that's a first world problem, no, it's not exactly a first world problem. Septic tanks, I think, are a throwback. So I get that. But the power grid in La Cañada, I swear, it seems to me at least 6 to 10 times a year, the power is out. Do you find that?
I do. And the problem with the power out is you really, first off, have no idea how much you rely on it. Secondly, it's always just a sort of weird wrench that gets thrown at your head without any kind of warning, which is, I just woke up this morning and there's no power. So there's all kinds of implications, which is, I got to have Lynette screaming from the garage, how do you unlock the garage door? I can't get my car out, you know? And I'm like, pull the handle. And she's like, I'm pulling it. It's like, pull it harder. So now she's out. Now the garage door's up and I'm leaving and she's gone. So essentially the garage is just wide open. Now I could go close the garage door, but I don't know if the power's coming back on so that she can open the garage door. She's going to have to go back in and pull the T handle again. Look, here's my thing with all this stuff. When I used to live, maybe this will sound familiar to you. When I used to live in La Crescenta, not La Cañada.
La Crescenta is like a La Cañada wannabe.
La Crescenta is to La Cañada what Van Nuys is to Sherman Oaks.
Correct. That is brilliant.
Thank you.
Because La Crescenta definitely has, I don't know if this is politically, can you say white trash anymore?
Because yes, I just saw a novel. It's literally like, white trash, yes.
Yeah, right.
And that's why we live there.
Yeah, La Crescenta is kind of like white trash who feels like they've arrived.
That was us.
Yeah.
And we live there, and we had back.
I mean, before you get to La Crescenta, Tahunga is kind of like where you start off.
Well, Tahunga is where it turns, and you start hearing banjo music as you head down Foothill.
It's Deliverance in
you
in
just
Tahunga.
Start. It just start coming Tahunga. Through your speakers. Like you were listening to the best of Barry Manilow, and all of a sudden you're like, did he have a banjo in Mandy? And it starts bleeding through, and it gets louder and louder. And yeah, when you get to Latuna Canyon, it's all banjo.
Exactly. And then, God forbid, you're in Sunland, which should have been Foodland.
Okay, so
La Crescenta.
I'm in La Crescenta. I'm renting a house with three guys. It's, you know, the early mid-90s. And this is back
when... That was a different La Crescenta back then.
It was all cable all the time. And we had something called Salmon's Cable. And that was our cable provider. And they didn't have Comedy Central, and they didn't have the Playboy Channel, and they didn't have CNN. Like, they didn't have – it was just back when you're kind of at the mercy of whoever your cable provider was.
I remember those days.
And I would say to them, hey, you guys don't have anything. And they'd say, yeah, we don't have it because our equipment is outdated, and we have old satellite stuff and blah, 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 or whatever they had, old equipment. And so we don't offer many of the channels that you would get if you moved over to the L.A. or West Side or Hollywood or something, and you'd have Time Warner or something. You could get the Playboy Channel. You could get Comedy Central. But we don't have that. And I said, okay, I get it, but you charge the same as
right.
they do.
There's no difference. You know, it's not like you get a discount. No,
right.
Playboy. That, we're going to knock $5 off your bundling.
Right. That's kind of my thing with La Cañada and the power grid, which is fine. You got a bad system. It goes out a lot. It leaves people hung out to dry. Like literally this morning, my kids are standing in the driveway and my wife can't get her car out of the garage because the garage door's shut and she's got to open it manually and pull the T-handle and blah, blah, blah. Fine. Now back out some cash for the inconvenience.
Why can't you get a tax rebate? You know, when you go to the hotel, if they don't have hot water, they'll do something for you. Or last night I took Jake out to dinner. I won't name the restaurant because they took care of it. And they didn't the guy was a schmoo and he forgot to put in the order. So we comped around to drinks. So
right.
Same principle.
Right. Just comp us literally a round of drinks. Just go ahead and come. All I'm saying is,
you know what's interesting about this whole story? That if you had Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service back then, see, we didn't have it back then.
Oh,
you could
God.
Watch 100 plus TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV. They never ask you for a credit card, which is the bane of my existence. You don't even need to sign up to watch free. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to say it's easy, completely legal. I remember back in the days when guys would pirate cable. This is completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies all for free. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Don't be like Adam in La Crescenta or me in Pasadena back in the day where we had to scream. Even to get MTV, it was awful. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream. Even if you're in La Cañada and the power grid goes out, you can still watch Pluto TV, right?
Oh, good point. You can watch our channel, Chassis, on 501, two S's and a Y.
You're in 501. How'd you get 501?
That's a good question. I don't know how we got our channel on there, but it's good.
I like the fact that you're the original, your Chassis channel is the original reference to a DUI. Before it became a 502, back in the old days, I mean, I'm going way back before most of the people were born, it was a 501. 23-152 predecessor was a 501. Do you remember that? A 502?
I do. And I think Levi's were 501s.
501s, exactly. A very good number to have.
The other thing I was going to say when you're talking about your client and murder charges, it's why I never get that judgmental, like when a celebrity gets a DUI, because I think to myself, how many times have you been at a party or Christmas party or something, and for whatever reasons you got behind the wheel at 0.08 or above or close to it? How can you possibly judge somebody who's done things that you've done, who hasn't sped on a highway, who hasn't been momentarily distracted when they, whatever, who hasn't been at a Super Bowl party and their wife said they were going to drive home, and at some point their wife said, I feel sick, and they take an Uber home, and now you're left there with three beers in your belly, and you're like, all right, I'm going to take it slow. I don't judge those people. I do judge the people who intentionally try to inflict harm on other people.
Which is why I say, this is what drives me crazy about prosecutors, and I know we've talked about it before, but if you're one of those city attorneys sitting over in East L.A. in Department 6 or 7 who is prosecuting cannabis collectives, seriously, I mean, you go home at night and you say, boy, I really have done something well. If you're a DA's office and you're prosecuting a 17-year-old for murder, who's
yes,
a great kid who's never done anything to indicate that you need to warehouse him or put him away or destroy another family's life. I mean, yes. Did he destroy a family by driving? Yes. So what's the remedy for that? Let's destroy another community and another family as well.
Well,
that's going to make it better.
In the prosecutorial overreach department, you tell me where you come down on this case. Gary can look it up. Because I think in many ways you're more liberal than I am, but I'm also as I get older, I become less and less a fan of the government. And the story out of, I guess it was out of Oregon, with the gal who had the flower store.
Right.
Who had, clients, friends, whatever, gay couple, and they'd been doing business for a while, and they said, we want you to make an arrangement for our wedding, and she said, I think her name was Burnell Stutz or something like that, she said, I'm sorry, that's against my faith. I have a religion, and I can't make you that arrangement. And the gay couple said, I get it. We'll go across the street. But the DA got wind of it and decided to prosecute. That's the part of the story that bothers me. Look, these are consenting adults. These two are going to get married. They have a relationship with the florist. The florist said, sorry, it's against my faith. They said, we get it. We'll just go across the street. Why does the DA need to, why do they need to weave themselves into this transaction?
It's part of the busybody culture and the kind of paternal, maybe even maternal, kind of need that we're going to teach you. We're going to tell you how you have to act. We're going to teach you something. It really is, you know, there is a social contract. You know, if you ever jog or ride a bike or even walk in the street, you rely on the social contract that nobody's going to run you over or hit you.
Right.
Get it? So when you violate the social contract, which is what my client is accused of doing, or what this person is supposedly accused of doing by not serving somebody, and yes, for all of you who want to be junior grade lawyers, there's a difference between between not making a cake or making a candle. And when somebody dies, I understand that. I'm talking about it on a fundamental basis. When there is a social contract, there should be consequences. But the consequences to the violation of social contract should be proportional. And you should be meted out in a way that makes sense, that there's some sense of justice. Why? I'm with you. Why the authorities need to get involved when nobody's complaining and there really is no victim. And, by the way, they're trying to be a, I would assume, the couple who didn't want to cause any kind of conflict with the vendor, said, okay, we understand. Why is somebody insinuating themselves into that? Isn't that what you want? Don't you want kind of a natural conflict resolution that doesn't involve a third party?
Well, yeah. And by the way, it's Washington, worse than right. Oregon. But what I'm saying is if I went into some kind of fucking kosher deli and I just said, you know, I want pork chops, and they said, we don't, our faith doesn't allow us to serve pork chops or sell you pork chops or Muslim deli or whatever it was, I'd go the fucking cross the street to Albertsons. I don't need the DA getting involved with this.
Well, I wonder too, what if, I mean, you can really take this.
Which, by the way, they would never get involved if it had to do with the Muslim faith. That would be, that's the third rail. They wouldn't do that.
Because it's when you pick and choose. I mean, if you're going to be consistent.
Right, exactly.
And that's exactly what bugs me about the current battles we have over the First Amendment. Because it's always, they're screaming First Amendment when it's your ox that's getting gored. But you don't mind kind of hammering somebody else. At least be consistent. I mean, you know, the same person who thinks, I could go at you, Kathy Griffin is out of control when she holds Trump's head, is, you know, defending Laura Ingraham's right to do something else or Tucker Carlson, and vice versa. Be consistent. Just say, I understand that there is a First Amendment. I understand that people should be able to express themselves. And by the way, the whole idea of a First Amendment is that it works best when you vehemently disagree with the speech. It's not endorse the First Amendment when you're listening in an echo chamber. I mean, that's not the purpose of the First Amendment.
Well, everyone needs to just sort of keep walking, including the DA, especially the DA. Just keep walking. Stop looking. This is the problem. You can't help it. I always say, take beavers, put them on top of the Sears Tower. They'll start looking for wood to build a dam. And you go, right. Why? They go, that's what beavers do. Like, once you tell somebody you have this power and you have an unlimited budget, go out there and get busy, they don't really have a setting where they go, that guy didn't want to sell the flowers. The gay couple understood. They went across the street. I don't see any reason to get involved with this. They don't have that setting.
You know, it's a very, very interesting analysis of it. There's no kind of neutral. It's always got to be in gear, and it's always in one of the high gears.
Right.
Yeah. Leave it to us to come up with a chassis reference.
The question for Mark is, what's going on in Washington? There's been an election. There's problems in Florida.
As we're taping this, because we're earlier in the week, CNN has filed a lawsuit against the White House and Sarah Sanders and John Kelly for banning Jim Acosta from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, I always find the first thing, because I'm such a nerd, first thing I do is I always go and look and see who are the lawyers. It always gives me, in fact, somebody was on Twitter and they were slamming us for something because they said I always have a bias when I'm discussing one of my cases. And I said that's an ad hominem fallacy. And back in high school, you used to get 10 points extra credit in logic if you could identify one. I do it because I want to, first of all, I want to see if there is a bias. I want to see if the lawyers have some kind of a bias or an axe to grind. I'll give you an example. If you see a lawsuit during the time when it's a Democratic administration, and a group called Judicial Watch is filing it. Generally, that's a, I remember in the days when that was formed 20 years ago with Larry Klayman, and he was the head of it, and then there was another guy in the LADA's office for a while, Ernie, I forget Ernie's last name, he was a Judicial Watch type when he, they're agenda-driven lawsuits. This one, however, is brought by Ted Boutros and Ted Olson. Now, Ted Boutros is a...
Boutros and Galley, right?
No. That's a Gibson Dunn.
Oh, okay.
God, you are so good. And Ted Olson is the former Solicitor General who famously argued Bush's, in Bush v. Gore, and beat, David Boies, back in 2000, and then became Solicitor General, and his wife, Barbara, was killed on 9/11 in one of the three jets, and Ted Olson then reunited with David Boies on the Prop 8 gay marriage case later on, but Ted Olson is generally thought of as a Republican, one of the establishment Republican lawyers, started his career in the 90s or at the...
Let me just do two things here. Yes. So let me just make sure we're all on the same page, paint a little picture here, as I like to do with the Steelers fans and the Ravens fans. And I think it was four jets on 9/11.
Four jets, correct.
You're saying... We're trying to argue whether this guy on the Steelers had his foot out of bounds or in bounds when he made the catch. And you want to know what jersey is the guy wearing who's making the argument.
Exactly.
And when you see a guy wearing a Steeler jersey, you go, well, I get it. He's already a Steeler fan, and so this is his argument. But when you see a guy wearing a Ravens jersey arguing that the Steelers receiver was inbounds, you think, oh, well, this is legitimate then, that he really probably was inbounds, or at least this guy thinks he was. This isn't partisan politics.
That's exactly the perfect analysis, because because what I'm thinking is, well, then they think this is a problem, and frankly, defending a free press. Now, the interesting subtext to this, I don't know if you followed it this closely, but this incident revolves around Jim Acosta, who's a reporter for CNN, who is always characterized as a thorn in Trump's side, asking a question at a press conference. And I forget if Trump told him to sit down or told him I'm not going to answer or called him fake news or whatever. But then there's this Hope Hicks lookalike intern that comes over and tries to take the microphone.
Right.
And then they've slowed down the video, slow motion, as to whether Acosta assaults her or not. Now, the White House has taken the position that he assaulted her, and they've got a zero tolerance policy for assault. Then there's a question as to whether or not InfoWars released a video that was photoshopped, and then whether the White House released a video that was photoshopped. Now, for me, the interesting thing is, somebody is at a certain point going to respond to this from the White House, and they're going to take the position. I'm anticipating what they're going to do. They probably will have by the time you listen to this. They're going to say, no, we have a right to exercise and protect our interns and protect our staff, and we made a decision based on that. And here is the tape that shows exactly what happened, Your Honor, and we want you to view it. Then you're going to have, presumably, Ted Olson come back and say, well, no, this is a doctored tape. So now we're going to have a court to decide whether or not this whole tape controversy is legit or not, which I just love.
You know what I miss?
What?
Back in the day, you know, when we were younger men, that intern who worked the press corps would have been offered a hefty sum by Playboy to do a spread,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And it was always awesome because, Hey, some women would go, I don't care if you give me $50,000 and it's 1986. I don't take my clothes off. Others would go, I've never seen $50,000 before, and I'm an atheist. I got no problems with this. And then it would be a big buildup, and then we'd get to see her naked.
Right.
Those were simpler times, my friend.
And, you know, we've evolved, right?
I don't know that I've evolved that much.
Is that what we're supposed to say?
Listen, this is a you know, it's a free market. Like, maybe she wants, you know, she's an intern, you know, maybe she wants 50 grand from Hugh Hefner's estate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of like to live in a world where if she's got no problem with it and she wants the 50 grand and Playboy thinks they can make 60 grand off sales. I like that world. But it was always back in the day. It was always like, oh. Playboy's coming. They're going to make her an offer. Remember that?
I do. And then Larry Flint picked up the mantle after that.
Larry Flint would jump in, but that was really just to get his name out there.
Right,
people
exactly.
tended to not
exactly.
take
let's
his
see,
money.
It would be a Playboy cover. Well, if they offered her a cover, she'd do it.
So she, look, here. So you tell me what you think of my analysis of this. I don't think it's assault by any stretch of the word. On the other hand, the folks that are saying it's not assault are the ones who turned non-assaults into assaults over the last 5 years, using
well,
the word assault and sexual
example,
assault.
The same folks who are saying it's not assault were in a frenzy about, I never can pronounce his last name. Do you remember Corey Lewandowski, the campaign manager for Trump down
right.
in Florida, when he brushed somebody and then they DA jumped in and was going to charge with assault. And by the way, I'm being consistent because I said at the time that was not assault. This was not assault.
Yes.
We have completely obliterated, as you say, any notion of what an assault is.
Well, look, we started it with rape. We started it with sexual assault. We started with sexual attack and rape culture and all this kind of stuff. You know, every campus is a rape culture, but you're saving up to send your daughter there.
Right. What? It's not just a rape culture. It's a rape machine.
Yeah, so
it's a rape factory.
But the reason we have words, circling back to the reason that we have words like murder and manslaughter, is so we can tell the difference between things.
Right, exactly. And there are distinctions. And so when somebody says, you know, the biblical way, I mean, because I hear this often, well, you know, what are you talking about? The biblical way is you take a life, you lose a life, this or that. No, that is, as a society, that is not what we have decided. We've decided as a society that there is that when you have a homicide, which is the death of another, that we ascribe various levels of culpability to it. That is ensconced in our common
but
law.
But the reason we have words like assault as versus aggravated assault versus murder one versus whatever we have. It's almost like we're talking, I'm getting back to trying to figure out how fast your client was going. The reason we have a speedometer in the car is because we recognize a difference between 40 miles an hour and 80 miles an hour. We can't make everything 80 miles an hour.
Right.
It's unfair to the person that was going 42 miles an hour. Al Franken was going 42 miles an hour. Bill Cosby was going 110 miles an hour. We can't take Franken and put him into Cosby's speed lane. That's what I'm saying. It's calibrated. Things must be calibrated.
You don't make every involuntary or vehicular manslaughter into a murder, because at that point you've collapsed the distinction, and then what do you do? You know,
right.
This goes back in the law, at least. This has been kind of one of the fundamental, and we've talked about this a zillion episodes ago, with registration on people who have to register as a sex offense. If you make a 19-year-old who had sex with a 16-year-old the same offense as a, you know, a home invasion and a rape inside with stranger on stranger, and you say both those people should be registered as a sex offender for the rest of their lives, you've collapsed any distinction.
You've collapsed. that's all we have as human beings are those distinctions. And
right,
if you're
that's what makes us rational, and supposedly it makes us above the animal kingdom. I mean, at least understand that there's supposed to be some level or hierarchy amongst animals.
This started
and humans.
This started years ago. I was doing Loveline a million years ago, and I was talking to a caller, and they said, like, I can't drive and I can't read and my eyesight. And I said, are you blind? And he said, seeing impaired. And I said, but I don't know what that means. I don't know. Does that mean you can't see light? I'm impaired. Like, listen, the Lieutenant Dan whatever over there with the eye patch from Saturday Night Live is seeing impaired. He's got an eye patch on, but he can read fucking cue cards. So it's not that bad. Then there's Helen Keller. So I don't know. Just can we use the word blind? Like, well, we don't like using the word blind. Yeah, but I don't know what seeing impaired. Seeing impaired means you might be able to drive, but not at night.
Well, you know, and that's, you know, remember when you could say mentally retarded?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when that was actually a term that was descriptive? You can't say that now.
I miss those days. I know. Gary Haftar, what are we going to call you? Hey, Tommy John, I want to tease this for a second, but I will tell you my take on Jim Acosta.
Okay.
And sort of my feeling on it, but I'm always interested in your honest input.
Okay.
Tommy John, holidays are fast approaching. Things can get a little uncomfortable. Crazy travel schedule, awkward family gatherings, and the nutcrackers, the wedgies. Tommy John, the perfect gift, especially for the guys who are constantly adjusting. They're just the best. I'm wearing them right now. You'll never go back. You will not go back to whence you came. Whatever underwear you were wearing before Tommy John, you will not wear again. That's it. It'll sit in your drawer because you paid too much for your Calvin Kleins. But bring them out to the garage and wipe down
the car. Yeah, you might as well use them to wax the car, because it's true. You'll never wear them again.
They got a no wedgie guarantee. They stay put waistbands, luxurious soft feather light, moisture wicking, breathable fabrics, and no bunching, no riding. Limited time edition. They got the holiday gift edition. There's something for everyone on your list. I'm telling you. Don't get him the stupid sweater, the stupid tie this year. Go with Tommy John, right, Gary?
That is absolutely right. Give the gift of mind-blowing comfort this holiday season with limited edition holiday gifts from Tommy John. Plus, save 20% on your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off.
My Jim Acosta take is this. He did not assault anybody. Let's not call it assault. But I'll tell you what he does do. I see him up there, and I see 17 other hands up while he's filibustering. And I realize he doesn't let other people get the questions or the mic time that they may have if he'd simply ask a question instead of bloviating. And also, his questions are not questions. They're sort of accusations. They're sort of accusations with questions somewhere in the middle of them. So my beef with Jim Acosta is I want him to have a timeout, not because he assaulted anybody, but because he won't relinquish the mic. And I see everyone else with their hands up going, could I ask a question and do my job for my newspaper?
Well, I've always said, since this has become a issue, that the way to kind of call this is, if the other reporters were sincerely offended or outraged, as they claim to be, then guess what? Then you just sit down, you put your hand down, you let him ask the one question. Or you stop asking questions, because it is kind of political theater anyway. I mean, and Trump understands this. Why do you think he had the press conference in the first place after losing the House in the elections, so he could come out and proclaim that he won? But the press could literally solve this problem in a heartbeat and just say, no, we're not going to play this game. But clearly, as you said, it's kind of a dog eat dog, each reporter for themselves situation. So they're not going to do it. There's not going to be any kind of solidarity there. And so that kind of tells you something. And it'll be interesting to see or prognosticate if they back down, if a judge orders anything. You know, one of the things that I think they're going to have trouble with in this case, and they're going to struggle with, and I'm sure that the White House, whoever represents them, whether it's the White House Counsel General or the office or Solicitor General or somebody else, whether they get outside counsel, will probably start talking about whether this is prior restraint, whether this is punishment, a judge can order somebody to have access to the White House. Then you've got the Secret Service, because I think they're named as a party. Gary can tell me. And by the way, hi, Gary, I didn't even know you were there. I would imagine the Secret Service would weigh in on this, and it'll be interesting to see what position they take.
Secret Service director was named, as was the agent who requested the hard pass upon Acosta returning. That agent is named as John Doe in the complaint.
My take on this is Jim Acosta, for not relinquishing the microphone, should get a timeout. That's the way, you know, you may not attend the next three press conferences or the next single press conference. You get a timeout for sort of misbehaving in the room.
What if they did what this judge in Long Beach used to do with defendants? I forget what her name was. She's long since not on the bench. But when defendants were in there, and if they were obstreperous defendants who would kind of act out in the courtroom, she would outfit them with a belt that had a electrical jolt mechanism tied to it. And if they would act up, she would press the button and 50,000 watts would go through the person's body. What if you had each reporter with a belt, and then Trump or Sarah Sanders could press a button if they didn't, you know, if they kept raising their hands, so they would just jolt them with it, kind of like a taser.
Or we just wheel them in Silence of the Lambs style. Just put him right in the aisle. Hey, Mark, last but not least, what's going on in Florida? A lot of recounts.
Well, as we're speaking, they declared in Arizona that Democratic candidate, I think the first bisexual female elected to the Senate, she won.
Oh, she bisexual?
It was reported yesterday. She was used to be a Green Party candidate, apparently is bisexual, and is the first bisexual female. Maybe, I doubt that she's the first bisexual senator, because I think in the past we've caught some senators in the closet,
literally with
young boys. So I don't think that's the first bisexual, but I think it's the first bisexual female senator. And then in Florida, the nub of the dispute is that I believe there is a state either law or regulation that if you don't meet the recount deadline or the initial counting deadline, that whatever was first reported as your votes is what sticks. And obviously the Republicans want that or are advocating for that, because they were the ones who were ahead in both the Senate and the gubernatorial races. And hopefully this isn't dated by the time you listen to this, but Andrew Gillum, who was losing to DeSantis and conceded on election the morning of the election, after the election, has now rescinded his concession. I take it back. You can't fire me. I don't quit.
I would argue that if you're going to appoint somebody to oversee your elections in Broward County, I think it is, she shouldn't look like Medea in a crazy Tyler Perry movie. That woman who's overseeing the tabulations of the votes looks like a Tyler Perry character. Like, she looks looks insane. She's wearing, you know, copper eye shade, and her hair's white and teased out. She doesn't look like what you're looking for, not in the color of the skin. She looks like Phyllis Diller in charge of the votes.
Yeah, but that's kind of a Florida thing. What was the name of that woman during Bush versus Gore, which we were talking about? Catherine Harris or whatever. That woman is like your worst nightmare. She looks like a Pasadena junior leaguer. Remember her during Bush versus Gore? And she actually made a career after that. She was my worst nightmare. Like Paulette dragged me to some godforsaken debutante ball that she had forced Tenney to go to, and there was a room full of the Catherine Harris. I think her name was Catherine Harris, wasn't it?
That sounds familiar, yes. We'll see if we can find a picture of her.
You know the type, don't you, in Pasadena, that's got that that kind of harsh, scolding, severe look where they just want to, you know, excoriate you because you have a sense of humor?
Yeah, or set of huevos. All right, let me tell you about True Car. MSRP. You might not know what it stands for.
Oh, what? I know what that is.
What does it mean? Same goes for invoice.
Manufacturer's suggested retail price.
That's right. List price, dealer price can all be confusing. Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll be paying, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. You know your true price is a great price because True Car shows you what other people paid for the exact same car, apples to apples. You go to your certified dealer. They set the price. They compete with other True Car certified dealers to be competitive so they can win your business. So you can do what our own Chris Maxipata did over here. When you're ready to buy new, or you're ready to buy used, you always go with True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states, but as I like to say, you probably don't live in one of those states. All right. Oh, there's Catherine Harris.
Yeah. Is it Catherine Harris?
Well, we're looking at a Catherine Harris. Yeah, yeah. I think she's still around. She's still.
Yeah.
Still.
Is she in the. I thought she ran for an office. Didn't she become. I'm a congresswoman, or she run for Senate? What did she do? She did something.
Well, those guys will figure it out. I'll tell you guys that Friday, November 30th, Anaheim Grove with Rob Riggle doing a live podcast over there. And say hi to Lynette over Corolla Drinks. You can pre-order the Corolla Christmas crate now. Going well, limited time and all that good stuff.
Hey, what do you get in the crate?
Oh, Jesus, you get Mangria, you get the red, you get the white, you get the three bottles of Mangria, you get a signed book, you get a Christmas card, you get a custom T-shirt.
Can I get that to all my, that's a great idea for, I always send out Christmas, you know, gifts to clients or lawyers, friends. Can I order them in bulk from Lynette?
Yes, you can. She would, she'd be over the moon about it. And let's see what else. Go to Chassis and AdamCarolla.com for all the stuff you need. What do you got, Mark?
I've got the V Palm Springs, which, by the way, is the place to be now. Get down there. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. In fact, I'm going to have Gary post a picture of the pool at Pride Week last week. It was quite a scene. We've got the Casa Tropicana in San Clemente. We've got Engine Company 28 downtown. I highly recommend the bone-in Big Boy Tomahawk.
Mm.
Mediterranean Tapas at 10E. Prova Pizzeria in Grand Central Station. And next month in Times Square.
And you guys can check out Zane's World on Tuesdays on Podcast One. So, yeah, Gary.
Just to button it up, she was a congresswoman from Florida from 2003 to 2007.
Until next time, Adam Kroll from Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.